May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Now, for those of you who are visiting, you don't know any different, so that's okay. And for those of you who have been here a lot, I wanted to just share that what I will be doing from this pulpit is both proclaiming the gospel as we recognize this feast of our patronal saint, Saint Peter, but it's also the rector's report for the annual meeting. So for those who are hoping for a longer meeting, I am dreadfully sorry. We will be adjourning a little earlier as we continue in the business of our being the church. And it's such a joy that we come together to get today to celebrate our common life together. Every year we get to look back on as a parish on what we've been through together. And we remember that journey as well as the journey of St. Peter the Apostle. We think about our life together here at this community of St. Peter here in Milford. And I have to say that Peter is my absolute favorite apostle because he just goes for it. Our collect calls him eager, which is a total euphemism. He was all in. I think if dogs and people were the same, you know, I had a friend who once said, I like dogs, they're good people. Peter would be the 90-pound lab that still thinks he's a wee little puppy and just kind of jumps in your lap. He goes for it. You know, he's passionate. He's got great instincts. He tells it like he sees it. He's courageous. He's also fully human. He's also a coward. You know, he messes up from time to time. Sometimes he's eloquent with the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes he misses the mark and he comes off as a little harsh or a little awkward. That's Peter. He's a perfect stand-in for all of us at our best and at our less flattering. I love that Peter is the first disciple to be called, because in Peter's story we can see our own in some way. And in the prayer and preparation for this occasion, as we look back on the year we've had together and the forward to the year ahead, as I think about my first year with you as rector of this phenomenal parish, I was sitting with the words of Mary Oliver, who wrote in some basic instructions for life within her poem titled Sometimes. Instructions for life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it. Peter paid attention. Peter, like the overeager kid who has always got their hand up with the answer to the question, perhaps even before the teacher has finished asking it, Peter is paying attention. He is switched on to who Jesus is and what he is up to in the world in a way that no one else quite was. He was the first disciple to feel that call, to receive that call from Jesus and to drop his nets and follow him. He was quick to ask questions as well as to answer them. He was switched on. Sometimes he would ask an obvious question. And for those of us who have ever been in a classroom, when someone asks an obvious question that we're perhaps embarrassed to ask, we're also glad for the person who actually does. I was sick this day of seminary, but I wish I had been there for someone asking a priest, you know, do pets go to heaven? You know, like those kinds of questions. You're glad someone's there to ask, but you may not want to ask it yourself. I think they do in their own special way, by the way. But moving on, what I love about Peter is that he's paying attention. And as a new rector, it's my job within my first year to pay attention to what's going on, to recognize the work that is ongoing with the Holy Spirit working through this place, and how we reflect and how we work with our context here in this city of Milford. Frankly, the job of paying attention is never done for us as Christians, but as a new rector in a new place, it's an extra important to listen, to pay attention, to take notice, to consider. To consider is not something that you do lightly. It's one of those things that you do intentionally. We're called to pay attention. So here are a few things which you probably already know about this place and where we are. We are the Episcopal Church in the center of the city of Milford. We are connected intimately by proximity, as well as through our common life together to the civic and cultural life here in Milford. We're neighbors to an incredible array of government offices. We've got our school and government complexes at Parsons. We've got City Hall right here. I live next to our mayor, a couple houses away. We are right next to the vibrant life of Milford as well. We're next to the courts. We're next to the post office. We're also next to the train station that connects us from New Haven and points beyond as we head east, as well as to New York City and points beyond as you keep going that way. We're connected to the vibrant Eastern Seaboard and to amazing restaurants and cultural organizations here in town. You know, the Congregationalists have the duck pond, and that's fine and pretty and all, but we've got the bars and restaurants. So we're winning. Right. No, but it's true. It's something that we need to do. We can recognize that we are the Episcopal Church in the midst of all of this. This is a tremendous asset to us. And it reminds us that the ministries we do are part of an ongoing life in our city together, the small city with a big heart. One of the things I noticed in our rectory, in the midst of our neighborhood and where we are, is that our physical plant is in tremendous shape. A year ago, if I'm correct, not all these windows were in place. We were in the middle of rejuvenating them, of pulling down the faded Lexan that had obscured the daylight from shining through them. And now we're in a place where we're illuminated by these images of saints who have gone before us. As we're retold the story of Jesus and the apostles, the life of the church in the baptismal ministry of Jesus from the Nativity all the way through Pentecost and the Ascension. Our building is in great shape thanks to the tireless work of our wardens, especially Conrad and all of those who are part of our maintaining of this physical plant. It's an incredible place to be, a sacred, special place apart for us to celebrate wonderful moments together like baptism and like weddings, and to celebrate those hard moments together as well, like funerals, prayers for healing, and all of those moments in between. We gather in this space, which is so lovingly cared for. We're in an attractive part of town, and we're an attractive part of the Christian faith, I believe, as we come up into what I would consider to be a potential new Reformation. A lot of folks who have looked back on church history recognize that every 500 years or so since the beginning of the church, there's been some sort of shakeup. And so here we are, coming up on another 500-year era in which the church is a little unsettled. We're still trying to figure out what is happening out there. What is happening in here? And within the Episcopal Church, we have such great tools to engage whatever is coming our way. We have an ancient liturgy that dwells in the language of symbol, that hits at our hearts in a way that is unmatched. We come together around bread and wine. We come together with mystery and a sense of worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We also engage with critical thinking, with scripture, with formation for adults and children and youth. We come together over Bible studies as we bring to bear the way in which our modern lens looks at scripture and the way scripture can speak to us now in this frenetic modern age. We have great tools. We have great real estate. We're in a position to do wonderful things as disciples and apostles sent by Jesus into our neighborhood. We have so much going on just by paying attention to who we are and where we are. The second task is to be astonished, according to Mary Oliver. Peter was passionate about whatever he saw. He was astonished for good. He was also outraged from time to time. And I have to say, I'm astonished for good. It is so wonderful to serve in this place. I'd like to begin by thanking God for bringing us together in our mutual ministry together, for the ministries of the discernment committee, the recruitment committee, and the vestry for navigating a holy call process. My own experience of this call to Milford has been one that has been overwhelmed and dripping with grace and God's provision for bringing us together. God's also got a great sense of humor. And so here we are doing ministry together. And I find that I have to pinch myself from time to time to make sure that I'm not just in the middle of some very real dream. So none of this would be possible without the work you've done over years to come together as a community, to figure out where we're going, where you want to go, and how we can partner together. And so I'm astonished at the joy of our service together. And we celebrated that in our renewal of ministry as we celebrated that this fall with our bishop coming and installing me as your 15th rector. I'm looking forward to the journey ahead. I also have to thank this congregation for the hospitality you've shown, not just to myself, but also to my family. The care of the rectory, the welcome through picnics and all those things that have kind of made things easy for us to make a transition, and the general warmth of this place has welcomed not just us, but lots of other newcomers as well. It's such a joy to see other people joining the church. And so when I meet newcomers, it's with extra joy that people say, "Hey, I'm new here," and I get to say, "Hey, me too. Let's figure this out together. It's a great place. Let's figure it out." The hospitality of St. Peter's is unmatched. We are astonished. And while I'm grateful, I'm not surprised to see that we're growing. We're in this season of renewal in our ministry together. And I want you to consider this one image. It's something that I shared with our vestry and with our wardens, but it's a powerful one. If you think back to all your time growing up in the church, and maybe you're new to the church, and that's fine too. Imagine the Sunday after Christmas. We had a fantastic celebration of lessons and carols, which was absolutely astonishing in its own right. But in terms of our growth together, I also want to share that we had 5 children in our nursery on December 31st. Now, I don't know about you, but the church I grew up in was one where you went on Christmas and then you took the next Sunday off. And yet we had 5 children in our nursery, none of whom were here a year ago. 5 children in the nursery, all of them new to our community. I'm astonished. We're growing. I'm not surprised, but it's such a blessing to look at that as an image. And so how do we as the community continue to come together and be the rock that those 5 children will grow up in as they grow into the full stature of Christ? Well, it comes from getting to know each other, of who we are and how we come together as a community. And as a new rector, it's part of my primary job to get to know you. And we've done that through various opportunities, through fellowship at our picnics together, as we closed out the program year before we adjourned. We didn't adjourn for the summer, but you know what I mean. As we celebrated the ways in which we were off of the school calendar and into a more leisurely zone. And then we ramped things back up again in the fall. We also have done service together. We've served food to those who are hungry in our community. We have prayed together. We have eaten together. We have studied the Bible together. We have come together for formation. And all of these ways in which we come together help develop our relationship and strengthen our knowledge of who God is and what God is up to. And so I've come to know, as we work together, especially day to day, I come to know and love our staff. Our incredibly strong blend of volunteers who are and paid professionals who make this ministry happen day to day, day in, day out with our operations. As someone who's kind of into cars, I'd like to think of our operational model as that of a hybrid, right? We have some paid staff, but we also have incredibly powerful volunteers who help us to go further than we could have asked for or imagined. With staffing alone. We do such great work together. And so I'm especially grateful for our paid staff and Fred and Kathleen and Andy and Amy. As we all do the work of providing hospitality, Fred and Kathleen do tremendous work in preparing our bulletins and working with our choir and singing in the choir and bringing God's praises to life in a new way of being the administrative backbone by which we function. We've been meeting every week, and I'm so grateful for working with them. Andy Thomas does a tremendous job keeping our place clean and welcome and opening to all who cross our threshold. And Amy Chiarelli is picked up the mantle of Amanda Sayers in providing that hospitality for our youngest children in the nursery, and has been an incredible addition to our welcome to those who come to worship.
Our youth programs are incredibly vibrant, and I'm so grateful for the hours that Maureen Lucas puts in with the assistance of Burr and Soledad Mead. It's so incredible to walk into a place that has a youth ministry program that is as has the depth of participants as well as the volunteer backbone to make that happen. I'm astonished at what God is up to with this youth group. In the fall, it was our focus in our ministry together to be extra intentional about setting time aside to gather and share stories, to come together over a meal or a bit of tea or a breakfast. And so I thank Don Warren for convening at our 8 o'clock service breakfast here at the church, where we could come together and listen to each other's stories about what brought us here, what keeps us here, and where we sense God is calling us. I also want to thank Mary Beth. I want to thank Paul and Marcy. I want to thank Barbara Duchon, Donna and Jay Pinsent, and the Franz family as well for hosting other ways in which we could come together over a meal in an informal setting to just develop relationship. It's such a gift to have participated in your hospitality that helps bring us all together and helps us again be more aware of what God is up to with us and among us. In these conversations, we share who we are and where we're going. And those stories aren't exactly always the easiest ones to share. In church, we literally are brought to our knees, and sometimes our life events have brought us to church kicking and screaming. And so, as I've come to get to know you through pastoral care, through these meetings, through our conversations and prayer together, I want to share that your stories are sacred texts. And as your rector, it's been an honor and a holy privilege to participate and to get to know them. Thank you. It's a joy to be here. I am astonished at the good news of Jesus Christ working through you and through our worship and service to others. Of course, Mary Oliver also commands us not to pay attention or to be astonished, but also to tell about it. And it's been a joy to share the good news of what we're up to in this place. As my friends have asked how it's going, we've been able to point them to our website, which is carefully maintained, as well as our Facebook and Instagram pages as we get the word out. We've become recording sermons, which is truly humbling to have your voice recorded on the internet for whoever wants to hear. And yet we see those as important tools for reaching out into our community, for folks who might be checking us out from afar and considering the work that we're up to. Just last night, we had, I think, what was one of the more robust pasta dinners for our mission to Juarez. And I think part of our online presence through social media helped energize that participation. And so those are some of the ways in which we're telling about our good news. We've also shifted our monthly newsletters to a more liturgical calendar, focusing on the seasonal nature of what we do, with longer form articles from our leaders in our ministries together who share reflections and thoughts and announcements about our community life together and where we see God at work among us. And we do that in part to focus on quality of what we're doing, but also to be good stewards of the time and effort of the volunteers who so tirelessly pull that together, with Linda and Mary Beth and Dee Green and all who contribute to that. I'm so grateful for your work on our epistle. I'm especially grateful for the leadership of our wardens and vestry and our officers who faithfully help me learn about this place and the people and practices that make us unique in our corner of Milford and in our corner of this Episcopal church, part of the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement. I'm so grateful for all that you've done to be faithful ministers of the gospel through your service to our place. And so as we tell about what we're up to, I look forward to sharing our continued work together as we listen to God's call to us, as we continue to participate in this process of renewal together in this place and beyond. Look forward to working more closely this year with our children's formation program. I've made this joke, and I'll make it again, that I'm not just the president of the Hair Club for Men. I'm also a client. As a parent of kids in our formation programs, I'm really invested and excited about making sure that that's the strongest it can possibly be. And I'm so grateful to the leadership of Kathy Shock and to all of our Sunday school teachers who put in the hard yards, not just for their own kids, but for others as well, to come and teach and to be part of that. And I'm so grateful for that. I want to encourage our continued growth in that area. And so as we continue to strengthen, as we continue to grow into the full stature of Christ, as we commemorate the confession of St. Peter, I could not be more thrilled to work as we build and grow a faith-filled community as disciples and apostles of Jesus. And so it's our job, these instructions for our life together, to pay attention, to be astonished, and to tell about it. And I've been thinking and praying with these words as well, in Paul's letter to Ephesians. Glory be to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask for or imagine. Glory be to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever. Amen.